From Hollywood, the Raleigh Cigarette Program, starring Red Skelton with Ozzie Nelson and his music, Harriet Hilliard, and Wonderful Smith.
We're only supposed to play 8 bars here. Well, come. Let's not wear ASCAP on the ground. What do you think?
That was Ozzie Nelson's modern streamlined version of an old favorite, Irving Berlin's Remember. And here is Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's modern streamlined young comedian, the star of our show, Red Skelton.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Red.
Oh, how are you there, Truman?
And congratulations, Red, on your new MGM contract. Say, you're getting pretty popular in the movies, aren't you?
Yeah, only last week, Grauman's Chinese Theater invited me down to put cement in my profile.
Well, I'll say this. You're a good sport, Red. Yeah. Say, and I certainly enjoyed that surprise party you gave. It was a surprise party, wasn't it?
It sure was. The cops didn't break the door down until almost 12:30.
Say, Red, I hope you didn't mind when I spilled that beer all over the rug.
No, I didn't care. I managed to squeeze it all right back in the bottle.
Well, your house is just the thing for a party.
Yeah,
think.
You really like it, huh?
Sure. But tell me, Red, in the living room, is that a gas heater in the wall?
No, that's where the plaster fell off.
Well, it certainly is a nice rambling house.
Yeah, well, that's the trouble. It rambles too much.
It does? Why?
It doesn't like the neighborhood.
You looked awfully tired after that big party, Red.
Yeah, I was kind of tired. When I went to bed, I had a terrible time.
You did?
Yeah, you know, I had to count 563 Earl Carroll girls before I could go to sleep.
That's too bad.
Yeah. You know, I think there's something wrong with me, though.
Sure enough.
When I finally closed my eyes, all I could dream of was counting sheep.
Hiya, Red.
Oh, hello, Harriet. Say, you look like you got something on your mind.
Yes, I have. It's my boyfriend, Jim.
Jim?
Yes, Jim never brings me any pretty flowers. He just sends 4 roses. Say, Red, I didn't get a chance to tell you. I certainly enjoyed your party the other night. It was a Halloween party, wasn't it?
No, those were the musicians' girls. Say, did you see that oboe player's girl? Wasn't she bow-legged, huh?
Oh, well, I couldn't say.
Well, I'll say, but it's her own fault because she's so bow-legged. She hitchhiked out here on oil trucks.
Red, I was talking to your girl. What's her name?
I'm not sure, but from the way she acted, I think it was Dumbo.
Oh, fine.
No, she's smart, though.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, every once in a while, she took her thumb out of her mouth and said something very brilliant.
She seemed kind of old. Has she been in Hollywood long?
Yeah, I think so. She was chased here by the glacier. Oh, but anyway, when she arrived at the party, she acted very well bred.
Mm-hmm. She arrived well bred and went home sliced.
Oh, friends.
Oh.
Well, how are all my dear, dear friends tonight?
What are you running for?
You know, Red, I sure had fun at your place, though,
you
at
did?
The party. Oh, there's nothing like a good old housewarming to bring people closer together.
Oh, yeah? You've never been to Bullock's basement on Dollar Day, huh? Hey, listen, Ozzie, about that party the other night, I got a bone to pick with you.
You mean we didn't eat everything?
It's not that. It's that drummer of yours. I thought he acted very ill-mannered at the table.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I would. It's the first time I ever saw anybody siphon soup.
Oh, that's too bad. Gosh, I didn't know what got into my boys at your party. It certainly wasn't food.
Yeah. You mean they were still hungry after dinner?
Hungry? They cleaned up everything on their plates, and then they got into an argument about whether the trombone player would be better grilled or fried.
Well, I saw him later, and he was fried. Listen, Ozzie, but did you really like my party?
Oh, it was just peachy.
Oh, yeah? Did you like the sandwiches?
Peachy.
And the drinks?
Peachy.
Did you like that girl I got for you?
She was a little fuzzy, too. While walking down the street, I chanced to meet a friend of mine who leads a band.
Who doesn't nowadays?
Quiet, Harry. He seemed a bit perplexed, in fact, I'd say completely vexed. And when I tell you what was wrong, you'll understand. I said, my friend, you're looking rather on the worried side. He heaved a heavy sigh and then replied, I'm looking for a guy who plays alto and baritone and doubles on a clarinet and wears a size 37 suit. Of course, we'd expect him to do some arranging and perhaps a bit of copying and double oboe and some flute. He may sing the vocals just in case we get stuck. Oh, yes, and he's the guy who shines the shoes and drives the truck. I'm looking for a guy who plays alto and baritone and doubles on a clarinet and wears a size 37 suit. And now it's Harriet's turn, and she's going to tell you all about her experiences along the same line.
It happened in Gary, Indiana. We were playing a one-night stand. As Ozzie tapped off number three, a gal stepped up and said to me, I'd like a good look at the members of your band. I'm looking for a certain young musician. I met him at a dance a year ago. I don't recall if he was with B.G. or Tommy B., but I'll tell you all about him so you'll know. I'm looking for a guy who plays alto and baritone and doubles on a clarinet and wears a size 37 suit. I can't find him listed in Downbeat or Metronome, Billboard or Variety, but oh my goodness, was he cute. I can't remember if his hair was dark or light, 'cause he didn't take his hat off when he kissed me goodnight. I'm looking for a guy who plays alto and baritone and doubles on a clarinet and wears a size 37 suit.
That was Ozzie and Harriet singing, I'm looking for a guy who plays alto and baritone and doubles on a clarinet and wears size 37 suit. Brother Ascap got back just in time. Say, Harriet, I want to thank you for playing that benefit for the doctors and nurses the other night.
Oh, I enjoyed it, Red. And, gee, you sure made those doctors and nurses laugh.
Oh, thanks. You know, a very odd thing happened to me there.
What?
Well, two doctors came up, then one doctor tapped me on the shoulder, and without a word, he turned around to the other doctor and gave him $5.
Say, Ray.
Wait, I think it's coming by carrier pigeon.
How about doing a show for all the doctors and nurses all over the country?
Say, that's a good idea. We can show different types of patients that we have in hospitals and things that we think that really happen there. To start off with, we have a fellas who have the most dangerous job of all, the ambulance drivers.
Now, don't drive so fast. Take it easy going around those curves.
Well, if you're scared, do what I do. Just close your eyes. Every minute counts, you know.
Come on, let's go. Push that gas pedal down to the floor.
If I push it down any farther, we'll be walking. Hey, I think I'll turn up this alley and take a shortcut. It's a one-way alley.
There it is. There's the place right over there.
Okay. Come on, hurry. There's no time to lose. What do you want? Make it two hamburgers and hurry. We got to get right back. I was in an ambulance once, and I got in the hospital so fast that my ailment didn't get there till 10 minutes later.
Say, how about me being a nurse, Red? No, right. No, I don't think I'd look good in a white uniform.
Oh, sure you would. Gee, you could top Lorraine Day. She's, Look, I'll tell you what, we'll try it anyhow. You be the nurse, and I'll be one of the patients coming in.
Okay. Come in. My goodness, what have you got in those shoes? Slot machines?
Nope, it's not that, lady. I have come to see the doctor about those sounds. He's got to help me. I got too much iron in my blood.
Yeah, I noticed you had a high polish.
Yeah.
Well, sit down.
Okay. Well, I got to get oiled again tonight, I think.
My, that is a strange ailment.
Yep.
Does it run in the family?
Yep. My grandfather was a railroad magnate.
I'll bet it gets you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and it's embarrassing, too. The other day, a guy slapped me on the back, and a guy 2 blocks away yelled, "Run for your life, it's another earthquake."
Have you ever been examined before?
Yep, I was examined by my draft board.
How'd you make out?
Well, they gave me a little white card, and each doctor punched a hole in whatever ailment I was tested for.
Well, that's an efficient way to do it.
Yeah, when I got through, I took my card home, put it on my player piano, and played, "I'll Be Glad When You're Dead, You Rascal."
Oh, well, that sounds pretty serious.
Yeah,
we'd better
is.
See the doctor right away.
Okay.
Follow me, please.
Yes, sir. I sound like I got dishpan hands on.
Step right in. This is the doctor.
Say, you are in need of medical attention, young man. Why, you're so pale and so wrinkled.
Well, you're looking at a Venetian blind. This is me over here.
Well, my little man, what seems to be your trouble?
I got too much iron in my blood, Doc.
Take off your shirt and I'll look at you.
Okay. There went another rivet.
I think an examination might throw some light on this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where is my stethoscope? Where is my stethoscope?
I have the same trouble with Chris Antonin.
Here it is, Doctor.
Oh, yeah, thank you. You know, you can't tell a patient without the stethoscope, you know.
Kind of corny, too, ain't you, Doc?
Well, now, while I examine the patient, nurse, you prepare the X-ray machine.
Yes, Doctor.
Now, I'll do some listening with this stethoscope. You've got iron in your blood and Lekunga.
That ain't in, but leave it there. It's good.
Doctor, the X-ray is ready.
Yes, I'll be through in a minute. I just want to test his reflexes.
Oh, boy. Do that, Jim. Doc, it tickles.
I'm afraid that's pretty bad. Water on the knee and iron in the blood.
Yeah, with a combination like that, when I die, I'll be a real red skeleton.
All right, young man. Now step in front of this X-ray machine.
Mm-hmm.
Up here, yeah, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, Doc.
Now, look straight ahead.
Okay, Doc.
What do you see, Doctor?
A lot of little men on their knees, praying.
Oh, you've got the machine on too strong. What you're looking at is a crap game in the basement.
You don't know much about medicine, do you, Doc? Hmm?
I'll have you know I studied 4 years with Dr. Mayo, Ph.D.
Oh, yeah? Well, I studied 2 years with Dr. Kildare, MGM. Look, Doc, will you operate, do you think?
Not unless I send for an acetylene torch.
Oh, look, Doc, you gotta help me. Yeah? I can't go on living this way, you know.
Why?
Well, I got to take a drink of water. My teeth are rusty for 2 days. Have to shave with a magnet. There's no future with a girl with a guy like me.
Well, what's the matter with you and the girls?
What girl's gonna kiss a steel trap?
How long have you been in this condition?
10 years. But you gotta help me, Doc. You gotta help me.
This sounds like a daytime cereal program.
You say that you've been this way for 10 years?
Yep.
Then why do you want to all of a sudden to get rid of it?
Well, I just got word that because of the shortage in building materials, the government's going to melt me down.
Tragic case, Dad.
Oh, Red, I heard something even worse.
Yeah, what?
This poor fella had too much sugar in his system, and he licked himself to death.
That was my line. What happened? Well, that's not the most tragic cases of going to a hospital. The most tragic case of all is the expectant father. You know, the expectant father. Here comes Mr. Jordan Jr. Look, a big politician is waiting for the baby. This time, you be the nurse. I'll be the politician.
How do you do, nurse? Has Junior arrived yet?
No, Mayor Skelton. It may be some time yet.
Well, I'll give him to 2 o'clock. I have a court order.
Oh, say, by the way, congratulations. You really stole that last election.
That's a lie. I paid for every vote.
To be the father of a new baby.
Well, the way I look at it, 21 years and another voter. Are you sure the baby hasn't arrived yet?
Not yet, Mayor Skelton.
The little son of a gun has more trouble than a cornerstone.
Here he is, Mayor, your new son.
Well, my boy. I want to leave you with this one thought. A Republican.
And here are your other two babies.
What do you mean? Two more? Triplets? Now, wait a minute, nurse. There's something wrong here. I demand a recount.
Then we have the young doctor who's just out of school. This time, I'll be the doctor, and Wonderful Smith, you be the patient. Good morning.
Well, doctor, I'd like a checkup.
Mm-hmm. You want your oil changed, you mean?
Let's see. From where I'm standing, you look like you got mook and glucose of the Icalucas.
Well, what's that?
I don't know, but it costs $5. Well, I'll have to give you an examination. Here, take off your coat. Now, take off your vest. Now, take off your shirt.
Well?
Well, sit down over here.
Well, Doc, for a minute you had me worried there.
All right, now let's see your tongue. No, stick it out farther. Not farther.
It's tied on back there. What you want me to do, lay it on the floor?
Oh, that's very bad. You have a coat on your tongue.
Is that bad?
Yes, because yours matches the vest and pants. I'm sorry, fellow. There's nothing I can do for you.
Well, I guess I better make my reservations. Could I use your phone?
Yeah, you right over there.
Hello, operator. I'd like to call Uncle Tom in heaven. What'd you say? Deposit another quarter. But operator, the Los Angeles Chamber of Commerce told me that heaven was inside of the Los Angeles city limits. Thank you. Hello, Uncle Tom. This is Wonderful. Wonderful Smith. What'd you say? No, I don't feel very good. By the way, did Grandpa get up there okay? Yeah, it was kind of sudden. Grandma found out that those dice were loaded. You don't have to hang up. Take your time, Uncle Tom. Why, this is a station-to-station call. What's that? You've got to polish some stairs and a few hundred stars. Well, how come you've got to do so much work? Oh, I see. Short of help up there.
Say, ask him if my brother made it. He's a big politician.
Well, hello, Uncle Tom. Did a politician by the name of Skelton make it? Oh, I see. You haven't had a politician up there for the past 30 years. Well, Uncle Tom, I called to see if you could make a reservation. I'd like a room with a halo and a good view of the earth. Yes? Oh, yes, I could do a lot to make it happy up there. Did you ever hear the boogie-woogie played on a harp? Well, tell me, are the girls pretty up there? Oh, I see. If you think of about women, you'll lose your wings. You mean you can't even think about sweet Georgia Brown? Yeah, you're right. Yes, she was a pretty girl. Yeah, you sure did have a lot of fun with her. Hello, Uncle Tom? Uncle Tom, what happened? Oh, my goodness. Uncle Tom has been grounded.
Nice plugging there, Truman.
Say, Red.
Yeah?
I saw you in that picture, Dr. Kildare's Wedding Day. Say, you've been in several Kildare pictures, haven't you?
Several? All I gotta do is make one more and they give me a medical degree. So then maybe I can start my own hospital.
Yeah. Well, boy, I'd love to see the hospital that you were the head of. What a screwy place that would be. You'd probably learn something like this.
Dr. Skelton wanted in surgery. Chicago, Philadelphia, Minneapolis, and St. Paul.
Ah, good morning, nurse.
Morning, doctor. What's cooking?
The patients. They've all got fever. Anybody here from USC football team?
No, they didn't play last Saturday. By the way, how's your patient, Mr. Barrymore?
Oh, he's much better today. He was chasing the nurse all around the room.
Well, he always does that.
Yeah, but the day he caught her.
Well, what are you so mad about?
Well, I never did that good.
How was the patient in room 607?
Oh, pretty bad. He just saw three pink elephants.
Oh, that is bad.
Yeah, there was four of them. Say, anybody waiting to see me?
Yes, quite a crowd. You'd better go out and get in your cage.
Yeah. Now, please, nurse. Remember, I'm Dr. Skelton. DDS. MIS. SIS. SIPPI. Good evening, stiffs.
Oh, yes, Dr. Skelton. Here's an emergency case. This poor fellow's a movie actor. He's been in 612 pictures this year, and he's been cut out of every one of them.
Why?
He doesn't photograph well.
You mean that fella outside the door with a big dog collar and leash on?
Mm-hmm. It's Dumpty Cragney, the movie star. Shh, he thinks he's a dog.
Well, go bring him in here, but be very careful. On the way in, he snapped at me.
Come on. Right this way, Dumpty.
Here now. Be a good boy, Dumpty. Dr. Skelton, allow me to introduce myself. I'm Frank Borzage, owner of the Flimsy Feature Picture Company. Mm. And this is our biggest star, Dumpty Cagney. He thinks he's a dog.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's got fleas, too.
Fleas?
Yeah, but don't worry. You know our slogan, keep him flying. Say, by the way, why does he think he's a dog?
Well, it's the way we work him at the Flimsy Features Company.
Oh, I see.
Quiet, Dumpty, quiet.
Say, maybe he wants out. this is bad.
Yeah, and the only pictures he wants to do are old Rin Tin Tin parts.
You know, this is the most unusual case I've ever guessed wrong on. I'll tell you what, I'll cure him for $20,000.
$20,000?
Yep.
Are you sure I can spare it?
Sure, just think. $20,000. Let's see. After all the taxes are taken out, that gives me a nice little $2 profit.
That ain't much money, is it?
Well, I don't know. Might be able to get a pound of butter with it. If I go to the right place. Well, I'll take the case. But first, we've got to get this little flea, trap an intelligence test. Come here, Dumpty.
Now, come on, now, lay down, fella. Come on, lay down.
You'll have to say lie down. He thinks he's a Boston Terrier.
Oh. Now, look, Dumpty. Now, listen to me. You're a man, not a dog. Now, answer these questions. What's on top of this house?
Roof.
That's right. He's not completely gone. Say, now tell me, who is the president of the United States?
Roosevelt! Roosevelt!
There's still hope. Now, what we got to do is to do something to disturb this idea of him thinking he's a dog. Now, let's see. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll tie a can to him. Now, let's see.
Why don't you tie the can to it?
There's no place to tie it. Say, I've got an idea. Go outside and give him some dog food. That'll kill the idea of him thinking he's a dog. When he sees you open the can, it'll make him sick. It always did me.
Thanks, Doctor. Come, Dumpty.
Dumpty.
Nurse.
Yes, Doctor.
Tell all the other nurses to be on their guard. That guy may think he's a wolfhound.
There goes Miss Jones. good morning, Dr. Jekyll. Why, you look happy today.
Yes, I'm in a good mood today. On my way over to the hospital, I ate three good humor men.
Now, how do you feel?
Oh, just fine. Oh, doctor, here's the case I was telling you about.
Oh, yes, I'd like to take a look at that.
It's all head.
This is the strangest case I've ever seen.
Yes, it's all head and no body.
Yes.
What shall I do?
What shall you do?
Yes.
You send that beer back the first thing in the morning.
Dr. Skelton, that yes? Big movie producer is here.
Yeah, what does he want?
He wants to preview his X-ray pictures.
Well, tell him to come back tomorrow. We still haven't found a bone to play opposite his appendix. Oh,
Dr. Skelton, you're a fake. You're a fake. Dumpty Cragney isn't cured of being a dog. Yeah. Why, when I gave him the kennel ration, he set up and asked for more.
Stubborn, ain't he? Still thinks he's a dog, huh? Well, we gotta try something else. Hey, maybe if he sees a picture of another dog, it'll give him the idea that he's not a dog and cure him.
Well, have you got a picture of another dog?
Yeah, right here's a picture of a little Pekingese. Her name is Betsy.
Oh, show it to Dumpty.
Okay, look, Dumpty. Here's a picture of a Pekingese. Her name's Betsy. What do you think of her? Now listen, Dumpty, you're not a dog. Look, run him around the park for a few minutes. Maybe that'll cure him.
Okay, we'll do that.
This sure is a tough case. Hello? Dr. Skelton's clinic. Yes, we're having a sale on operations. Consults, $25. Appendix, $50. Liver, $60. On a bun,
$62.50. Dr. Skelton.
Yes?
Dr. Skelton, you've done it. Dumpty is cured.
Oh, let me shake your hand, Doctor. And thanks an awful lot.
Oh, you're really cured, huh?
Yes.
I've made medical history. Well, Dumpty, you look like a new man now. How do you feel? Pretty healthy?
Certainly I'm healthy. Just feel how cold my nose is.
This is Truman Bradley, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, we'll all be back at the same time next week. Red Skelton, Ozzie Nelson and his music, Harriet Hilliard and Wonderful Smith. And here's Red Skelton with the final word before we say goodnight.
Thanks for listening, and goodbye now.
Red Skelton appears on this program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.